are kama,
krodha,
and lobha, that is
lust, anger, and greed.
Sometimes it is also said that pride is one of these gates. These are very, very terrible enemies of the conditioned soul who invade his consciousness. If you ever have studied human psychology, you have noted that karma and krodha are really like an army which enters our heart. For instance, a person may walk over the street and he thinks of many things. All of a sudden, he sees a lust-inciting poster, maybe some advertisement for a cinema show. And as he sees and looks at this, maybe an exposed woman, all of a sudden, lust enters his consciousness, and he finds himself lusting after the opposite sex and making plans, sometimes quite inhuman plans or indecent plans, to enjoy this lust. It's really an invasion of a strong enemy force which takes possession of the consciousness. Or anger. You are going through your life and something happens which upsets you, and you become so angry that you are even able or ready to slap the person with your fist or with your hand or whatever. These are very powerful forces, lust, anger, and greed. And in spiritual life, we must make a serious plan to overcome these forces. In our scriptures, it is said that there are three very powerful remedies against lust, anger, and greed, which tend to drive you through your life. Lust can be given up if you hear a lot of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Anger is something which can be given up if you become angry at Maya. Maya, the illusory energy, you should become angry at her. Never become angry at a person, but become angry at the illusion which drives this person and which sometimes also drives you. You have to really make this very subtle distinction between the person and the force which drives the person. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. The garland I gave you comes from Lord Jagannath. From where is this garland? Our Prabhu is silent. I believe it does not have the same origin. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Always make the subtle distinction between the person who upsets you and the force which drives this person. When you become angry at a person, you might make an offense. But if you become angry at the illusion of the Maya which drives the person, you do not offend the person, but you are actually making advancement in wisdom, that you understand, yes, we are driven by forces outside of us. Greed, that tendency to have more and more and more, can be also overcome by engaging it in sadhu sangha, that yes, I want to have as much as possible association with sadhus. I become greedy after sadhus. So, my dear audience, what you have just learned is a tactic or technique how to deal with the forces lust, anger and greed. You use the tremendous energy which these forces have to bring you closer to Krishna. And once you become closer to Krishna, these qualities, lust, anger and greed, become transformed. I would like to give you a little example today. This is a little light made of wax. If I put now fire to this, you will see that something happens. At this moment it's still neutral. Some of you look as if this is going to explode. Don't worry. I'm not a German terrorist. It is a very harmless experiment. Please don't. Okay. Now the fire has come in contact with the wax. And something very foreseeable is happening now. The wax, in contact with the fire, transforms. It was hard before, and it is slowly turning into some liquid. Ping, there are drops now, which come. So this expresses in a very simple way, a way which we are all familiar with. I can put it here. What happens when you use lust, the energy of lust, anger and greed, and to come bring you close to Krishna? These same qualities which earlier have given trouble to you, all of a sudden transform and change their nature. They are no longer harmful, but in fact they are quite useful for you. In other words, if you use your lust to hear more about Krishna and to enter not into another person's intimate sphere, but to enter into God's pastimes, into God's secrets, then you will see how you come closer to Krishna, and all of a sudden that force of lust which makes you restless and spins your head around and drives you crazy, this force of lust is your friend all of a sudden. It brings you closer to God, and it becomes transformed, it becomes your friend. The same with anger and greed. If you use these things to become closer to Krishna, your anger you can use, I'm not yet Krishna conscious, I'm so much an illusion, I really hate this illusion, I cannot tolerate what Maya is doing with me every single day, that is, that she drives me away from my true goal and prosperity in life. Then you will see that your anger becomes no longer harmful to you. And if your greed is turned into I must have the association of the sadhus, I must listen to them, I must invite them to my home, and become greedy for this, then you will also see that something changes. See, all these techniques which I explained to you are really doing what we have seen here. They transform the heart, and bring Krishna closer to you. I would like to give you another example which comes from the field of martial arts. In India there is a technique, Kali Ripu or something. It's a martial arts technique which was known to the Kshatriyas. Now in fighting, when the aggressor comes, there are really two ways to deal with this. The first is you confront the aggressor who comes with a certain amount of strength with a higher strength, and there is a conflict. But there is a much better way to deal with it. That is, you use the strength which the aggressor uses towards you to your advantage. Because this is so highly technical, I will give you a little demonstration. But now I'm a Swami. I will only explain the principle. Let us say an enemy is coming this way. So what I will do is, I will just I will take the enemy, I will comfortably roll down, use my leg and make a roll, and then the enemy will fly in the next tree. See, he comes like this, and I make my foot like this, and I comfortably lie down on my back, use my feet to go up and roll, and he flies into the next universe by his own strength. So the same thing, the same technique where you use the force of lust, anger and greed can be applied in Krishna consciousness. You take that feeling of, I must have something, you know, this lusty feeling, and you bring yourself closer to Krishna. I want to hear more about Krishna. I want to be closer with Krishna's devotees. And you will see, then your heart transforms. Now I want to tell you one last secret. I hope some of you are already noting down questions. Yugen, are you here? Yes. You have brought the question. It's in the crowd. Yes. If you have a question, there will be some piece of paper rotating, and you please write it down. I would now like to tell you something which will make you blush. If you trace back lust, you will actually find out that lust is its very, very core is nothing else than misdirected love. Our heart is full of love, and that love wants to be posed on Krishna, the perfect lover. But when we direct this energy, let us say, on a partner, a human partner, then it turns into lust. Deep in our heart is love. If we direct it towards money, it becomes transformed into what? Greed. So you can see, behind lust and greed is love. And also anger is nothing else than the result of misdirected love. When our lust is frustrated, or our greed is frustrated, then we become angry. If you learn conversely to go back to the source of the feeling, that is to love of Krishna, and you develop your love of Krishna, then immediately lust and greed
run away screaming. This is my Krishna consciousness, which is the process of first contacting Krishna and then developing love for Krishna, is the best way to conquer lust and anger and greed. So this was a little bit a preview on the subject matter. We will now explore this subject together a little deeper. I will try to answer your questions. Please give our human the question. How did you like this example? When Krishna is in contact with the heart transforms, just like when fire is in contact with wax, the wax changes. So when you are lusty or greedy or angry, you somehow have to bring your mind to Krishna. Okay, so we have many questions today. Actually, no, six after now. When one looks at you, you always look so blissful. Can you please give us your secret recipe? Hare Krishna. I once gave a television program in South Europe. It was in Serbia. And the TV interviewer came after the program to me and said, "I'm working at TV and we have to smile, but I must say our smile is artificial. How what is your trick? I mean, how do you smile always? It looks so real." You know, and he wanted to know maybe a trick, what to do with the facial muscles, you know. You know, and so on. And I said, no, it comes from within. Okay, how do we smile from within, Swami? Tell us the secret. First of all, I have all reason to be happy. I'm somehow engaged in serving my spiritual master and Krishna. The sacred order of sannyas is a very nice concession. You really only have to live for bringing auspiciousness to this world. That's a very nice engagement. But there are days when I feel also maybe a little bit stress because of too much to do. And when I can see that stress overtakes me, then I do three meditations, and these are, so to say, my recipe, which I would like to give you. I first of all become aware that I'm an eternal part of Krishna. This is my first step. Or I'm a part of God. The second step to be happy is to understand that everything what happens to me in my life is God sent. It's not that things happen by any accident. It is some things which happen in our lives are always arranged by the Supreme Lord to bring us further in spiritual life. This whole universe has one theme. The theme is enlightenment. Everything which happens here, even the so-called bad things which happen, are arrangements so that you can learn and become more absorbed in your enlightenment. So I remember this. The last step which I do is, when there is a situation, I always take the observer role, the neutral observer role. Let me do this for you here. I'm sitting here now, but now I will take an observer role That is, I will make a little distance to me. Nice. What do I see? I see there is a tent full of nice people who take shelter from the rain. I see that here is a German Swami. He's called Satchinandan Swami. He's sitting and he's trying to say something which is of practical use for his audience. So I'm taking the distanced observer role. When I'm going over the beach, I allow myself to distance myself a little. I see myself walking on the beach in the waves are making their soothing sound on the beach. The nice air is blowing. It is all Krishna's wonderful creation in which I am allowed to walk. And from this observer role, where I am not so involved in my present activity, I can see many more things which I cannot think, which I cannot see when I'm totally involved. Or let us say someone comes to me, is totally angry at me because I said something which upset him. Then before getting back and on him and said, I meant it like this, why did you misunderstand me? I take an observer role that I go a little outside and say, oh yes, here are two people in conflict. What is the conflict? I try to find out, and then I give myself tips how to deal with this, and so on. So these three steps I do every day. I'm thinking how I'm an eternal soul, a part of Krishna. I'm understanding that everything which happens to me is God sent, and then I'm finally understanding that I'm can observe this whole reality in a neutral way. Second, if one associates with people who engage in sinful activities such as meat eating, alcohol, etc., does one get bad karma for this? Well, when you associate with people who are engaged in sin, you're not immediately getting karma. But what can happen is that if you're not so strong, these people begin to influence you, and you find all of a sudden desires in your heart which you did not have before. Let us say you are always engaging with people who are very much sexually agitated. When you go to bed, you will have bad dreams. Or when you go to people who are always drunk, after some time you will think that the material illusion is very nice. So therefore you must be very careful with the people with whom you associate. Because what will happen in association is you will become influenced. How did the human species survive in the age of dinosaurs? Oh, Hare Krishna. I think there was a lot of hiding. And they had to learn to be careful. The human being can always adopt himself to any type of circumstances. Once in Mumbai, the city authorities made an attempt to socialize the beggar colonies. And they built some very nice buildings for the beggars. But the beggars, they prefer to stay in the beggars, in the beggars colonies and rent out the apartments to other people. The human being has this strange ability to become at home even in the hellish planets. I'm sorry. Maybe someone has. Yes. You saved my life. I'm very sorry. I feel like in the. It's a little embarrassing. Please look another way now. Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. Some of us have very bad habits, such as associating with the one-eyed guru, that's the television, listening to mundane music, sleeping too much, etc. I think this is all an expansion of our lust. I have tried many times to give it up. I succeed for a few days, and then I go back to the old habits more forcefully. So how can I succeed in giving up these activities without going back to them again in a more practical way? I would like to now make an experiment to answer this question. I first of all want to show you with this experiment how strong habits are. Are you ready to make an experiment? Good. Please fold your arms. Fold your arms in such a way that it feels comfortable for you. May I ask, is your right hand, whose right hand is over the left elbow? Good. My arm. Where is it the other way around? It's all right. Now, I want to request you to fold your arms in exactly the other way around. How does it feel? Strange. Who else? You understand the experiment? It feels awkward, isn't it? Oh, I feel almost like being naked. Now, has any one of you ever thought about how they fold their arms? No. You do it out of habit. And the moment you break a simple habit, that means you do something different, you feel awkward. So all of us, my dear devotees and my dear skeptics, we are driven by our habits. We don't think about them. We always do it the same. And if we want to do something differently, then we feel strange and ultimately go back to the same habit again. So this is also what happens when you change to Krishna consciousness. First, you might have acted upon your lust, you might have eaten whatever you wanted, you might have had changing sexual partners, you might have acted upon your anger and never controlled it and yelled at people whenever you felt upset. Now when you want to take to a life of Krishna consciousness, it means you will have to break a habit. And in the beginning, this is a little difficult. Your mind and your whole system will feel a little discomfort. Hare Krishna. So if you want to successfully break your old habits and start a new life, it will be absolutely important for you. Absolutely important for you to create new habits. Otherwise, it's not possible. In the Vedic scriptures, there is a knowledge of sanskaras. Sanskaras are deeply ingrained impressions which will take care that our thoughts and responses go in a certain way. Let me give you the example of a riverbed. The riverbed is a deep impression in the soil, and the water will always flow according to the grooves in the riverbed. So in the same way, our thoughts go according to our sanskaras, our deep impressions which we have from our childhood and from other important formative events in our lives. So you really, if you want to change, you need to create new habits and new deep impressions. If you do not, if you are unsuccessful in creating new impressions and new habits, it will actually not be possible for you to change. My suggestion for you is the place where you can make deep Krishna conscious impressions are at such a festival, but also in the Holy Dham. When you go to the Holy Dham, like Vrindavan Dham or Mayapur Dham, deep new impressions are created, and then it is actually possible for you to change your habit. You need to really dig a new habit into your psychology, and this is done when you go to holy dharms or to events where a lot of good association and kirtans are taking place. You have to really use some dynamite to create new impressions in you. Hare Krishna, this is the fourth question. I'm following the four basic principles, but I love eating onions. Will this affect my spiritual advancement? Please comment. I want to say to those of you who are not so well informed that in Krishna consciousness we do not eat onions. There is a reason for it. Onions stimulate the sexual urge. Onions is a very rajasic food, and if you take a lot of onions, you can see you sweat. After some time, you smell like an onion. It's a very rajasic type of food. That's why we don't eat it. But what to do if you are slowly approaching Krishna conscious foodstuffs or Krishna conscious eating, and in the beginning you are still attached to onions? Try to reduce the quantity of your onion intake, and then later, as your taste for a sattvic life increases, you will naturally not like onions. I was also a terrible onion lover. In Germany, tomatoes with onions, that was the creme de la creme. But when I became accustomed to Krishna conscious diet, I developed after a few months a strong neutrality towards onions. No. This will happen when you develop a sattvic lifestyle, then you cannot enjoy a rajasic lifestyle any longer. So I would take it slowly. Don't force yourself in the beginning too much. But no, it's not good for your spiritual life. And as you live more sattvic, then it's very good. Fifth question. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Guru Govinda Swami Maharaj said we should develop greed or lobha for the association of advanced devotees and for prasadam. How does one develop greed for the association of advanced devotees? See, you will develop association No, you will develop greed in whatever gives you something, where you get some pleasure out of it. So when you associate with devotees, you should do so in a way that you will develop some pleasure out of it. Especially the greatest pleasure which we can receive in associating with devotees is by hearing their realizations, and so on and so forth. I remember His Holiness Gogovinda Maharaj would have lectures which would last sometimes 3 hours. He would talk, and then he would sing all of a sudden a song in glorification of Lord Krishna. And when after a few hours he stopped talking, you looked at the wristwatch and you noticed, ooh, time is already up. Where did time go? So when you are with devotees, bring your ears and bring your heart, and if you do so, you will quickly derive some benefit, and then you will become greedy for more. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for gracing us with your presence. Is it possible for the devotees of this yatra to communicate with you via email? If yes, please give us your email address. Well, I have a web page, and you can visit me on the web page if you so wish. It is www.sharanagati.net. Sharanagati.net. If you want to have that address, there's a devotional music stand, and there you can obtain it. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. It's nice, every question starts with this. Does anger have a place in life? Everything comes from Krishna, and so does anger, so it must have its place in life. Yes, anger has its place in life. When you become angry towards the enemies of the devotees, that's the place where you can put anger. I want to tell you once, there was a reading of Ramayana, and the Brahmana read how Hanuman arrived in the Ashoka Gardens where Mother Sita was kept by Ravan. The gardens were described, the Pandit read, and there were white lotus flowers. All of a sudden he heard a noise, and Hanuman was there in his Ramayana reading. Hanuman, you are here? Yes, I'm here, and I want to correct the Ramayana. The flowers in the Ashok garden, the lotus flowers, were not white. They were red. The Pandit said, but this is in... I'm sorry, but this is in the Ramayana of Valmiki. It must be correct. No, 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 said Hanuman. I'm after all, I was there. I very well remember the lotus flowers in the Ashok garden were red. The Brahmin Pandit was perplexed. Who was right, Hanuman or Valmiki? Or who was not right, Hanuman or Valmiki? So he prayed very much to Mother Sita, who was the other person who was there. And Mother Sita appeared, and the Pandit said, my dear mother, I'm perplexed. Hanuman says the lotus flowers in the Ashok garden were red, and Valmiki says they were white. Please tell us, what did you see? Who is right? So Sita smiled and said, both are right. The lotus flowers were actually white, but because Hanuman was red with anger towards Ravan, he saw the lotus flowers, the white lotus flowers, as red. So here you see how Hanuman had directed his anger towards Ravan, who had kidnapped Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for sharing your heart of love with us. My question is, does lust refer to only sex desire or intense greed for something like prasadam? Well, you can lust also for prasadam. Halava. Halava. I came to Krishna consciousness in my first visit to the temple. There was halava, and I did not know how halava was made, and it tasted so nice that I came back for a second visit to also accept some halava. So here is an example how lust can help. Yes, lust, greed and anger, they are all born of the same mother and father. That is, it's just feeling separated from Krishna and feeling a great need in your life because of this separation. See, when I see a person who is very lusty, I think he is crying for Krishna. When we see a person who is very angry, he is crying for Krishna. See, some of you have children, and they know when your child is very upset, he really only cries for love. You can take a child which is crying and place him on different laps, but the crying of the child will only stop when the child will come to the lap of the mother. In the same way, we cry with lust, anger and greed in this world. It's a cry, and we try to satisfy it here and satisfy it there, but only when we come finally back on the lap of Krishna will this crying stop for good. Let me see now. We have 10 more minutes. I will go a little faster now. Hare Krishna. While chanting japa, I sometimes play devotional CDs in the background. At times during chanting, I tend to pay more attention to the CD than to my own japa. Is this also inattentive chanting, even if the CD playing is Srila Prabhupada chanting japa? See, when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the essential point really is that this is your time with Krishna. And when you are with Krishna, you should be with Krishna. Let me give you an example. When you receive a dear guest, then you may have a CD running in the background, but you will not listen to the CD all of a sudden and pay attention to the CD and not the guest. You will say, one moment, my dear guest, there is a very nice part now in the CD coming. And then 10 minutes have passed and the guest says, what is about me? You invited me. So when we are chanting Krishna, we should give Krishna's holy name, we should give our attention only to Krishna's name, not even a devotional music. Sometimes we hear, it is said, if you want to improve your chanting, you should chant in the association of pure devotees. Why? Because the pure devotees attract Krishna by their purity. So that's why we are sometimes putting a CD of Srila Prabhupada in the background, because we feel that Prabhupada chants in such a way that Krishna is attracted, that something of this chanting will come to us also. But we should place this chanting of Srila Prabhupada on such a volume as if he is actually chanting there, not on a higher volume where he's chanting over shadows or over towers every other sound vibration. But this is how we should use it. Thank you. Does one accrue sinful reaction if one occasionally eats garlic or onion for health reason? If you are a devotee of Krishna and you have given vows, then you really must be sure that this is really only for health reasons. I would ask 5 doctors if the prescription is correct. Most probably there will be other Ayurvedic medicines which work even better than garlic and onion. But again, if it is necessary for health reasons, it's not a problem. When one is with his partner in marriage, how is this sex life looked upon? I will now give you some advice which will be very interesting. When you are taking to a very strict spiritual practice and you are taking initiations, your vow is no illicit sex life. And illicit sex life is defined as this pleasure-seeking sex which is not for the procreation of children. Now you might say, well, this is, Maharaj, this is an impossible standard. It doesn't work here in South Africa. It's highly impractical. And what do you expect? There's a young woman and a young man with a lot of energy, and you expect that they only come together in an intimate way for the procreation of children? Please think calmly. We are not on the moon. I know from devotees who have come to me and have said, Maharaj, it seems to be impossible, that this is hard to follow. But I want to tell you, I have also heard from devotees, if you have a loving association where you have a good relationship of helping each other in Krishna consciousness, the sexual appetite is not so strong any longer. When you really experience loving feelings, you don't see the other person as a body made of flesh and sensual organs. You see the other person as in a more respectful way, as a part and parcel of Krishna. And your affection for this person, and maybe gratitude to that person, is expressed in other ways, in serving the persons, or in embraces which are done between husband and wife. I speak of the embraces where the cloths are available, where they are there, so on. You will actually see this. Often the sex appetite or sex hunger is coming when the relationship has some type of emotional deficiency. If the emotional bond is very strong, then this is not such an appetite. Then this hunger is not there. This I have heard from good couples in Krishna consciousness who were fully intact with a male shape and a female shape, everything there. This is what they said, and it makes a lot of sense. Please think about it. If your heart is full of affection, this affection and admiration and gratitude and warmness towards a person, then you just don't feel like tearing the cloth from this person's body and jumping over the person. Hare Krishna. This was strong words from a Swami. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Very informative lecture. Question. The more I practice Krishna consciousness, the more intolerant I become of life and people around me. Intolerant to the extent that I become very angry. Now this is not good. Anger is not becoming of a want-to-be devotee. Why would this happen? I certainly do not want to give up this Krishna conscious process. Yes, good. See, as you become more and more Krishna conscious, absorbed in Krishna conscious practice, you develop a type of difference. You are really different from the people around you. And the gulf of difference becomes more and more as you become more strict in your practices and more committed to your spiritual path. And you will feel that I'm going away from society, the normal, or from our perspective, the unnormal society of materialists. At this moment, as you are advancing or creating a difference, there must develop another quality in your heart. Otherwise, you will become arrogant after some time and proud, like the mystic yogis, who also in their practice develop shaktis which make them very different from ordinary people. You must develop compassion. Let me tell you about this one yogi who practiced Ashtanga Yoga in the Himalayan mountains. He meditated already for 8 years, but he didn't feel a change in his personality. So he thought, it's all useless, I give it up. And he went home, wanted to go home to his village. But on his way, he saw a man who had only something like a strip of cloth and who was rubbing it towards against an iron pole. He asked the man, "What are you doing, man?" The man said, "I'm trying to saw through this iron pole." "My God," thought the yogi, "he's so patient." I mean, maybe I should be also a little bit more patient and give it another try. So he went back to his cave in the Himalayas and meditated another 4 years. Then he thought, "Oh no, I'm not making advancement." And again he went down to the plains to start an ordinary life in his village. But on the way he saw a little mouse. The mouse was eating. It's my finger, it's not my tooth. Eating at a stone. The stone had rolled before the hole of the mouse and had blocked the entrance to its family residence. So the man looked at the mouse, trying to eat through a stone. She thought, my God, the mouse is so patient. Maybe I should also be a little bit more patient. And he went back to the Himalayas and meditated another 4 years. But again, he didn't make any advancement. So finally he gave up and he went to his village. And when he arrived, the sun was just setting and people were preparing themselves to go to bed. He walked over the village road and there he saw a dog who had badly been wounded by a cart. The hind legs were bleeding and pus was developing in the wounds. There was even yellow pus in the eyes of the dog. The dog was clearly in its last moment. The yogi felt a strange feeling. He went with his bowl to the nearby river, captured some water in the bowl and put it before the dog, and the dog gratefully drank the whole bowl. The man thought maybe he wants more and went again to the river, and he felt so good. He felt some compassion in his heart. He brought the bowl back and there was the dog and was looking at him and again drinking all the water. Then he went a third time, and when he came back he saw at the place where the dog was a sadhu. The sadhu said, now you can make advancement in your spiritual practice. You have learned in the school of compassion. Krishna only gives sukriti or spiritual benefits to a person who is not selfish, but whose heart is full of compassionate feelings towards others. My dear devotees, if you always think, my advancement, I must make advancement in Krishna consciousness, I must get my first initiation, my second initiation, then I must become a temple president, then I must become a GBC, then I must become a sannyasi, then a guru, and then God. This is not a good way to advance. There is something like selfishness in this whole connotation of making advancement. Our hearts should extend towards others. And the first, and how do you learn compassion? How do you go into the school of compassion? First of all, there must be three steps. You must first of all watch another person and perceive, oh, this person is miserable. He's suffering. Today I had this feeling. I was walking to the camping ground and there was a poor man digging in the waste paper basket, in the garbage bin. And I thought, oh, I just ate such a wonderful meal. And this person has not a wonderful meal. I feel really some compassion stirring in my heart, and I thought, this is not good. Why should people suffer? Why should I have such good meals? It's not good. They are the same children of God as I am. So then, when you feel it's not good that someone suffers, this is the first step. Then you go to the second step, is that you think intelligently, how can I alleviate his suffering? It's very good for you, if you want to give up selfishness, to sometimes join the Food for Life distribution. I do not know if we have in Durban. We have? We have. So sometimes when you are free, come and distribute to the poor people. It's very good for your development of character. Even if you are a multimillionaire, you should lock your home nicely and then go to the Food for Life store and distribute nicer prasadam. Very important, very good for our compassion feeling. So, seeing the misery of others, understanding it's not good, and making a plan to alleviate the misery. This will help you to develop compassion. It's very important. It's very important for you. If your heart is so selfish and you only think about you and you and you and you, me, ooh, Krishna, this is not a very high class spiritual life. Good. So, yes. So when you feel that you are becoming intolerant, unfortunately this is a human reaction. I don't say it's a very high human reaction, but it is a human reaction. It's most probably people get on your nerves. They smell like a whiskey bar when you see them, and you feel like, oh, Krishna. Yesterday a devotee came to me and said, Maharaj, what should I do? I have come to the festival, I want to engage with sadhus, but my son who eats meat came and gave me a warm embrace, and I said, I've just taken a shower, now please don't give me a warm embrace. I feel like a meat shop when I... And then the person said, oh, but also, what will my son now think? This is also not a good way to deal with him. He will feel neglected. He will feel that I do not love him. So I suggested to the devotee that, why don't you sit down with your son in a time when it's emotionally calm, and then you address this point and you say, my dear son, I love you so much, but you know, I also love this spiritual life so much, and when I've just taken my shower and I feel clean inside and outside, and then I feel I feel so awkward. Can't you give me your embrace before I take my shower? I mean, this also sounds a little impractical, you know. How will he know? I mean, then he has to always sit before the shower, and that is a little impractical also. But you should tell the son how you feel, and the son will most probably understand, and then some mutually satisfying solution can be found. So,